Capital Investment Committee to order. Today we're going to go through a what might be referred to as a technical bill from the standpoint of dealing with a number of provisions related to previously authorized projects. So where word changes or other changes, which you'll come to know if you haven't looked at the bill yet, are included. There is, I would dare to say, maybe some money moved around, but certainly not added that I recall within this bill. But we'll go through it, and hopefully we can, at the end, move this bill to the floor and have it available for a lot of reasons. But more specifically, if we do not have a bonding bill, it's just this year, the intent or the hope would be at least that we could move this out and let some of these projects go forward that are otherwise delayed by, in many cases, just wording changes. So the bill, at least to start, and then we'll do a delete all on it. Senate file 187, and we'll put that before the group. And to that, I'd like to amend with the A7 amendment, which you should have in your packets, and that would put the bill in order, and if I could have a motion to do that, we could move on.
So
Senator Nelson.
So moved.
Motion by Nelson, and all in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Okay, we're on the bill. I think, members, what we'll do is just maybe go through the bill one section at a time, if you will, and if there are any questions that relate to it on any specific items, we can stop. We have witnesses in the audience that can help us through some of the more technical questions that might arise. Some of these, I think, are fairly straightforward, but we'll just see as we go. So the first one is, and this is frankly Senate File 187, the mother bill here from the standpoint of this amendment, is what we call the Orinoco Dam. And this is a result of the last fall's flood bonding bill. There was $1 million allocated in that bill for the renovation or removal of a dam. Dam will be removed, at least that is in the plan. The technical change here in terms of language relates to the ability to use a portion of that $1 million, that which is not perhaps otherwise used for the dam removal, to be used for upstream stream bed stabilization. When you take that dam out, you're going to have a lot of mud and other things which are otherwise captured above that dam moving on down the river and ultimately into another lake. And so the attempt here is to use some of this money to stabilize that stream bed. Would there be any questions on that? By the end, we certainly move through. The intent here is to move through the bill. If there's issues or questions, certainly bring them up. If we want to amend any part of this bill out, we can certainly do that as well, or at least put that before the body. But so that's the intent. Any questions on the Orinoco Dam? No questions? Okay. Moving on then, this gets a little more complicated, and I'm probably going to call MMB forward to help us. This so-called bond premium language, and maybe we just bring MMB up, because no sense to me to try to explain this. It's very technical from a financial perspective.
Is this on? Yes.
Yes, that's on. Ms. Hansen.
Yes. Chairman Sendin, members of the committee, my name is Kristen Hansen. I'm the Assistant Commissioner of Debt Management and Treasury at MMB, and I would be happy to talk about this technical amendment. Under current law, when the state sells their GO bonds, both their various purpose and their trunk highway bonds, the law requires that we put the money into the debt service fund. And this bill is asking if we have the ability to either put it into the debt service fund to make bond payments or to reduce the size of the issue. And just some background on bond premium. is that when bonds are sold, underwriters can either take what's called a discount, which is like points on a mortgage, where the underwriter is taking an upfront interest cost, and what that does is reduce the interest rates on the bond, similar to, you know, when you pay upfront points, it reduces the interest rate on your mortgage. Premium is just the opposite, where the underwriters actually offer you more money than the principal amount of the bonds. And what that does, it usually happens in a very low interest rate environment, and so it allows them to give the issuer of the bonds, in this case the state of Minnesota, money up front, kind of an interest cost where we put in to pay make bond payments, and then they offer higher coupons on the bonds, which make them more attractive to investors. So right now, when we receive that bond premium, if we're in that type of interest rate environment, we just put it into the debt service fund to make, you know, the next bond payments. But in this case, we're asking for the ability to either use it in that way or to use it to reduce the size of the issue, which would lower the payments over time of the debt service.
Thank you, Ms. Hansen. Are there questions of this provision? Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Reduce the size of the issue. You're not talking about the size of the bill, right?
No, just the size of the bond issue. So if we were bringing, say, $100 million to market and the underwriter bid, $10 million of premium, we would reduce that issue to, $980,000. I'm not doing math in my head correctly right now, but it would reduce the size of the issue and thus lowering the debt service payments over time. So there's no cost to the state by doing this. In fact, we're delaying the provision until not this coming biennium, but the next one, so that there is no cost. And that's why you see that date of December 1st in there, because we have to make our transfers to the debt service fund 18 months prior to making our bond payment.
Senator Tomasoni, is that satisfactory? Okay. Any other questions? Okay, well, thank you, Ms. Hansen. We can move on.
Thank you.
The next provision within the bill relates to something called Grass Lake, DNR, which is I'm understanding it, it relates to a 2006 authorization, and there is $660,000 left in the authorization. By the way, this is all flood hazard mitigation. There are $666,000 left of that will be returned if it's not just through the cancellation project. The provision here, at least the request, is that we extend the life of the 2006 bill to 12/31 of this year, 2011, and there would, my understanding is, be utilization for that within the flood zone. Now, Mr. Lacosmo is here. He can explain that better than I if need be. Any requests for that? More information?
Mr. Chair, I guess I would kind of like to hear that explanation.
Mr. Lacosmo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Kent Lacosmo, Director of Capital Investment for DNR. We had a project funded in the Wild Rice Watershed District out of 2006 bond funds. Subsequent to us funding that and them starting on the project, there was a change in the board, and they decided not to proceed with the project. So we're requesting that they pay back the money that we had provided them for that project. It's $660,000. It's in the process of being returned right now. That's why you don't see this on the cancellation report, because it was already spent. But it is money that's owed back to the state since the project is being abandoned. And if this is approved, we would use that money for another flood hazard mitigation project, most likely in Hendrum and Purley, which are two projects up there that are a little short of funds. But the without this, the money would sit in the account for 2 years until the next cancellation report is prepared. So we believe, since there's more demand than there are funds for flood hazard mitigation, this would be a good amendment.
Any questions of Mr. Lacosmo? If not, then we'll move on. Thank you. The next one has to do with Grass Lake, and since Senator Gimsey is here, would you speak to Grass Lake, Senator Gimsey?
Certainly. Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. What this issue is the a reauthorization of $2.2 million for the Grass Lake project, and some of you who have served on this, certainly Senator Langseth is familiar with this project. It's been something we've worked on for many years, and components of it are flood relief for the area around Grass Lake, including a portion of the city of Willmar itself. The project is just getting underway. This is the second of two bond issuances for this project. The initial was $800,000, and that is being put to work this spring. But what happened here was that we failed to meet the deadline. We had a change in our county attorney this past election, and the new county attorney didn't get to review the grant application and get it signed off before the end of December, which was the deadline for this 2006 authorization. And so subsequently we need to reauthorize this. There's a member from Bowser here also that can maybe talk a little bit more about the technicalities of it, if you like.
Is there a desire by the committee to hear more? This is, as I understand, an extension of basically it's to extend it to December 31st of 2012.
That's correct.
To extend this, the current authorization. Any request to hear more?
Mr.
I don't
Chairman,
sense
I
it.
Think
okay.
Hear
okay, Madam, the representative from Bowser, welcome.
Thank you. My name is Julie Blackburn. I'm the Assistant Director for the Minnesota Board of Water and Soil Resources. And Senator Gimsey explained it quite well. This is a project that has been in the planning stages for a considerable amount of time. There was permitting issues and all kinds of issues like that, trying to figure out the project implementation. Senator Gimsey certainly was in on facilitating the final resolution for that. And just as we're getting ready to go and get all the contracts signed, which, by the way, I have the signed grant agreement with Kandy, Ojai County right here that we can't execute until we can encumber the money. So we're ready. We're ready to do this. But because of the change in the election and the county attorney, it just simply did not get to the county commissioners to sign in time for us to encumber it by December 31st of last year. So we're ready and want to get this project done. We've been working on it a long time.
Okay. Thank you so much. Questions? Okay. Thank you very much. Next one deals with rail service, St. Louis Park. It's to Glencoe at Senator Latz's project brought this to us. Mr. Holton, do you want to help us with this one? Or pardon me, not Mr. Holton, Mr. Vic Moore. I'm sorry, I'm looking at court.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Moore, I'm sorry.
I feel sorry for court. my name is Vic Moore. I'm with the firm of Franson and Moore, and I'm here representing the city of St. Louis Park. And I want to thank Chairman Senjum for putting this provision in his amendment that was adopted. We have a bonding authorization that's about to expire, I believe, on July 1st. If you don't extend the period on this, which you do in this bill, basically, St. Louis Park, which is is an entering suburb, is a densely populated area, has a rail switching yard for freight trains in the city, and this proposal that was authorized earlier by the legislature basically would move the rail switching yard out of this densely populated city area into a more sparsely populated area near Glencoe, Minnesota. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to find all the resources necessary to make this happen. The current legislation requires other non-state sources of money to be used to develop a rail switching yard facility in Glencoe, and this would basically just extend it to give us more time to find those resources or at least to find some other way to mitigate the problem, and the problem is noise. More and more freight traffic are going through the western suburbs, and we're trying to find a way to mitigate that. So we appreciate your offering to extend this, so giving us a little bit more time to work on it and maybe find some other alternative if this one isn't successful.
Questions, Mr. Moore? And for the members, this would be to extend it to 12/31/2014. Any questions? Not. Thank you, Mr. Moore.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and committee members.
The next one deals with the Southeastern Minnesota Regional Public Safety Training Center. This is a particularly good one. It's going to save us $700,000. Maybe I could call Captain Mark Donnell from the Umpqua County Sheriff's Office up, and you could give us a little idea what's going on here.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Mr. Donnell.
Mark Darnell, Chief Deputy with Umpqua County Sheriff's Office. What this is a request to, first of all, show some fiscal responsibility and reduce the appropriation by $700,000. It's a little bit of a language change to do this, to account for the land that was acquired to build this facility. The land was purchased on this, and we would like this to be retroactive back to the to that date in order to have the land accompanied into this appropriation.
Okay. And Mr. Donnell, in so doing, we effectively save the state of Minnesota $700,000.
That's correct. It's a reduction in the overall facility. All the elements would still be intact, the burn tower, the driving range, and the firearms range.
Okay. Members, any questions? Once again, pretty easy. Thank you very much.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, Senator Tomsoni, I'm sorry. Hang tight.
I'm sorry. Chief Deputy, thank you.
Deputy, why would you give back the money?
We know that the state needs to, budget the money a little bit better, so we're just being fiscally responsible. And it actually helps the county also when it becomes a part of the match. It is, saves the county a little bit of money also on this.
Where are we putting this money, Mr. Chairman?
Senator Tomasoni, I'm sure there'll be a use. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you, Captain. Appreciate you coming up. Next, dealing with the Hennepin County Medical Center, this is a language change as well, just dealing with the uses of some previously authorized money. I think, is Mary Beth Davidson here? Or, pardon me, I'm sorry. Michael Harrisall, is Michael here? Michael, welcome to the committee. I got your name correct, but help us if I didn't.
Thank you, Chairman Senjamin. My name is Mike Harrisall. I'm Vice President for Public Policy at Hennepin County Medical Center. And the project is basically, it's a project that has been about medical education, education of health professionals. And when the project was approved, we had envisioned that our educational facilities would be contained within an outpatient clinic building that we had planned on at the time. Over the last 18 months, our plans to develop the full clinic building have not come to fruition, given the economy and a variety of things. So in reviewing the language specifically, which cited that the proceeds would be used for a facility that included outpatient clinics, the clarifying point here is just that the educational facilities that have been contemplated and have been planned will not be in a clinic building per se, but in one of the existing buildings on our campus.
Senator Berglund? Okay. Thank you, Senator Berglund. Any other questions on this one? Okay. If not, thank you so much for appearing today.
Thank you.
Moving on, Minneapolis Veterans Homes Campus. This is, again, previously authorized money being moved around to other purposes within that campus, and maybe rather than go any further than that, is Mr. Lasky here?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Wazlowski, welcome to the committee.
Thank you. My name is Wayne Wazlowski. I'm the Director of Real Estate and Construction Services with the Department of Administration. The project with Building 17 at the Minneapolis Vets Home has been an evolving project. In the 2007 timeframe, there was a number of deficiencies that were identified with that building. That is a 250-bed facility. 200 of those beds are for skilled nursing vets, patients, residents, and then 50 for domiciliary care. And again, in the 2007 timeframe, a number of deficiencies with the building were identified, including related to the HVAC and indoor air quality. And a request was submitted to renovate the building at that time. The 2008 legislature appropriated just under $4 million to deal with the HVAC issues. However, in 2009, a more comprehensive study was done of Building 17, and the recommendation from that study was to demolish and build a new facility. The 2010 legislature then appropriated funding to do just that in a multi-phased project, which is fairly complicated and involves a lot of staging. First of all, it authorized a pre-design for the entire new facility. Then it authorized the demolition of the north wing of Building 17, as well as the design and construction of the north wing. And then it also provided for some renovation of Building 16 on the campus so that the residents that are currently in the north wing, once we finish the renovation of Building 16, those residents will move over to Building 16, and then we'll begin the demolition projects. So what this change would do is to reallocate the 2008 $2.3 million from that just under $4 million appropriation in 2008, would reallocate that to the 2010 appropriation, which is now our current project. We still will be spending money from the 2008 appropriation to deal with the current HVAC deficiencies that we're dealing with, because there will be residents continuing to live in the south wing of Building 17 until a future appropriation is made to design and replace the south wing. And with that, Mr. Chair, I stand for any questions.
Are there any questions for the witness? So it's a reapplication of $2.3 million previously authorized. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members.
Okay, moving on. Veterans Cemeteries. Is Mr. Swantek from the Veterans? Okay, Mr. Swantek. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Swantek. Can you introduce yourself and tell us about this change?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, committee members. My name is David Swantek. I'm the director of the State Veterans Cemetery, our current cemetery located in Little Falls. This change would provide a change to the appropriation which we received in 2009 to design additional state cemeteries in regions in Minnesota. This started back in 2008 when we received legislative authority to operate more than one cemetery in the state. At that time, we were primarily looking at northeast Minnesota and the Duluth area for an additional cemetery. Through discussion in the legislature that year, we were asked to provide a study on opportunities that may exist in southern Minnesota for cemeteries. And during that winter, I authored a demographic study working with the Veterans Cemetery Grant Service out in Washington, D.C. to look at populations in southern Minnesota that may or may not support such facilities in that area. We ultimately divided the southern area into two regions, southeast and southwest Minnesota, and determined that there was population sufficient to support new facilities in both of those regions. And based on veteran population density targets, we identified Stewartville in southeast Minnesota and Redwood Falls in southwest Minnesota as the target areas. Didn't mean that the locations needed to be specifically in those cities or towns, but that that region provided the greatest density of population of veterans to support a new facility. And then in 2009, we received a $1.5 million appropriation for design of facilities in northeast Minnesota, and then it was defined as Redwood County. 2010, we got legislative direction to consider planning and site evaluations in southeast Minnesota as well. At that time, Fillmore County came forward with an offer of donation of 153 acres for a cemetery in southeast Minnesota. Unfortunately, we had executed a contract with a design consultant for the design of two cemeteries that was defined as Northeast and Redwood County. Unfortunately, in those areas, we've been unable at this time to find any suitable sites. We've analyzed nearly 30 properties in Northeast Minnesota and a handful of properties down in Redwood County. So we feel this change with a property in Southeast Minnesota that looks very promising, that it would allow us to modify the existing executed contract for design to just say the design of two new state cemeteries, and then based on where we can find suitable property, we could move forward. These projects are 100% funded by the National Cemetery Administration. The money that's been appropriated is for the design effort. Once that design effort is concluded and the project's been put out for bid, the federal government reimburses the state for the design costs of that project. So essentially it becomes 100% funded by the federal government. There's also a mechanism in this language that would place those reimbursed dollars in a special account that we could then use to design the additional legislatively approved cemeteries. We don't have the resources to do multiple cemeteries at one time, so we'd take these as we can find suitable land. We've worked hard not to use any money to acquire property, even though the original language allows us to use up to $500,000 for that. We feel that with time we can find properties that may require little, if any, acquisition dollars, thus the interest in trying to move the project in southeast Minnesota forward. I have last two fiscal years deferred approximately $16 million in federal construction funding for these projects because of no sites being available for that purpose. They approve basically once per year funding for these projects. In order to not have to defer another several million dollars in construction funding, again, we feel the southeast location provides us the greatest opportunity to receive that money into the state of Minnesota.
Thank you. Mr. Swantek, Senator Miller, and by the way, this is the southeast area here. The cemetery proposed is within Senator Miller's district. Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Mr. Swantek, thank you. I've been working closely with Fillmore County and the Department of Veterans Affairs, and I just thank both of them for their hard work. Fillmore County has come forward with they want to donate over 150 acres of beautiful land in the Bluff Country right along the Root River. So it's just an absolute beautiful place, beautiful surroundings for this veteran cemetery. So I just, again, want to thank Fillmore County and the department for their hard work and effort on this.
Senator Carlson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Swantek, is there plans over the next, say, 10 years or so to do this in other areas of the states, like perhaps North Central? Specifically, I'm thinking about a project in Beltrami County. Can you give us a little bit of a view of that?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Carlson, we certainly would anticipate something in northwest Minnesota. It's the one kind of region that's absent here. We have had some local interest from northwest Minnesota, just informal discussions. Nothing's been formally brought forward. When we study the demographics of a cemetery, and as I mentioned, 100% of the funding comes from the National Cemetery Administration, so they have a very stringent program in place. And what we do is we look at a 75-mile service area from a particular location. So with Little Falls and then these two areas down in southern Minnesota, Duluth area, northeast Minnesota, we haven't done any formal study in northwest Minnesota, but I would certainly anticipate that it's a project that would be supported for federal funding. The National Cemetery Administration has a strategic goal that they want to see a open and available burial option in either a state or national cemetery for 90% of the nation's veterans within 75 miles of their home. State veteran cemeteries provide the fill-in for that strategic goal. They're not going to come to Duluth or Rochester and build a national cemetery. They're building those in major metropolitan areas. So we play a vital role in meeting that strategic goal. So northwest Minnesota, certainly. We have to be careful, though, that filling in some of those other gaps, then, that we all of a sudden are creating a lot of overlap with that 75-mile radius. So it's something that we would work in conjunction with the folks in Washington, D.C. to determine the ideal locations for additional areas.
Senator Miller.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just one more quick question, Mr. Swantek. What is the deadline for receiving funds from the federal government so we don't miss out on those again this year?
Mr. Swantek.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Miller, we would really need to get started on this design effort in southeast Minnesota immediately following the enactment of this language. We need at least 1 year for design, and even I understand that to be a fairly aggressive design schedule. With the partnership, the construction documents need a couple months of review in Washington, D.C. before they can be approved to put out on the street for bids. So we're going to run up against that deadline, which would be June 1st next year. So you can see where that 12-month schedule, we're rapidly coming on June 1st now. So it's imperative. In order to get this funded, we need to move quickly on this.
Senator Tomasoni.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Swantek, I thought I heard you say you looked at 30 sites in northeastern Minnesota and none of them were appropriate. Is the land not appropriate, the number of available veterans in the area not appropriate? What's not appropriate? What makes the site appropriate and one not appropriate?
Mr. Swantek.
Mr. Chairman, Senator, it's mainly the suitability of the sites, geology, wetlands issues. We've run into things like bedrock in the first 6 inches. A development for a veterans cemetery on say, a 100-acre site, we really need to consider what's 10 feet below the surface on the entire 100 acres, because we're going to need to excavate eventually a good portion of that site. So there are several site criteria that we look at. And with the unique geology that exists up in northeast Minnesota, a lot of the sites that we've looked at have been challenging. And we've looked at tax forfeit. We've been working with St. Louis County, identifying some county-owned property. We currently are looking at a site north of Duluth on Highway 53 that seems to have more promise than anything else we've looked at up there. Yet wetlands are a significant issue on that site. We may be able to overcome those. It's not that this in any way makes northeast Minnesota less of a priority. We want to see projects in all areas for veterans to be able to take advantage of a burial option close to their home.
Others? I do have a question, and maybe Senator Dames is in the audience. I'm wondering now what happens out at Redwood County if that's not clear to me at this point. they would remain on the list, I would believe. But at least for the interim here, we'd be transferring this money. Is that it?
Mr. Chairman, Redwood County certainly is an area that we've identified. We're not saying that that no longer meets our criteria. Redwood Falls was the target area. Redwood Falls is very close to Renville County. We went over and looked at Fort Ridgely State Park as a potential option, which is just outside of Redwood County. It's more that the target area of Redwood Falls could potentially include some bordering counties there that would still serve the population density that we're looking to serve without requiring it to be specifically in Redwood County. We still support the study that we did with the National Cemetery Administration. We feel it just broadens our search for sites and maybe opens up a possibility for a site in southern Renville County that would be available for donation.
Thank you. Senator Dames, I don't know if that answers your question. I'd welcome you to the witness table if you have any more. Senator Dames.
Mr. Chair and members, I just needed some assurance that Redwood County or the surrounding counties would still be a viable offer for a future cemetery there. So I thank you very much, Chair, for allowing Senator that Dames. Information.
Senator Dames, I know Senator Frederickson worked hard on
yes.
this initiative, and we want to try to see it through.
Yes, that's right. Thank you, Mr.
Okay,
Chair
thank you very much. Any other questions of the witness? Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Moving on, another one of these moving money to a different purpose. It's been pre-authorized, or at least previously authorized. Mr. Wazlaski from Department of Administration, you want to help us once again? Perpich Arts Center.
Mr.
Chair. Center for the Arts, I'm sorry.
Mr. Chair, members, Wayne Wazlaski, Department of Administration. This, again, would move money between 2010 appropriations this time. We have hard bids on the demolition of a building, which was one of the appropriations. That's the Alpha Building demolition. The bids came in significantly lower. We actually demolished an identical building to this in 2006 on the site. The cost estimate was derived by taking that actual cost, adding inflation to it. But when we bid this project out, it came in significantly lower, in part because of less hazardous waste abatement or lower hazardous waste abatement costs. We actually have the reverse situation on the storage building. We're doing a couple things there. One is in the capital budget request, it talked about including a maintenance piece to this project. However, that did not get into the language, so we're adding it that it's for storage and maintenance. Also, the appropriation didn't, it was just for construction, so it didn't authorize the design part of it and equipping like you typically see in appropriations. So this clarifies that it's actually for the all phases of the project. And then it was also this estimate, the appropriation was based on estimates that were done before any design work was done. This is below our $750,000 threshold for pre-designs. So how the estimate was originally derived was to get quotes from five contractors take that as the basis for the budget. After we got into the design process and the scope of the project started to get better defined, it became very apparent that the budget was not adequate. So on one hand, we're fortunate that one project came in significantly lower on the campus. On the other hand, this is clearly a mistake on the cost estimate for the storage and maintenance facility.
Okay, questions of Mr. Wazlaski? Anyone? Thank you once again. Appreciate it. The next one is the St. Matthias Trail paving, Fort Ripley. Is Mr. Kent Swicker here? Is Ken here? I don't see him. In any event, this is the bill of was passed last year, it was written assuming a park within the city limits of Fort Ripley, which is only the mailing address. They are under the jurisdiction of St. Matthias Township, who will be the fiscal agent. So it's a simple word change, Fort Ripley to St. Matthias Township is the essence of that. Next one.
Mr. Chair.
Yes, I'm sorry. Senator Rosen.
How long is the trail, if I may ask? Does anybody know?
I'm sorry, Senator
Rosen.
How long
is the trail? We're paving a trail into St. Matthias, is that right?
Senator Rosen, I am not sure. Is there anybody from the trail groups here that might help that? So the question is, how long is this trail? Senator Lanxit.
Well, Mr. Chair, as I remember, it was Senator Coring's project. I don't remember. I think it was in a park that was actually right near his place, and this trail went down to a lake or something. It was, I think, a very short distance, I believe. Okay, yeah, for $50,000, you don't get it. I think it was a gravel trail, and it was to pave it or something. Can't remember exactly. But.
Senator Rosen, that may be the best answer you get today on this one. Okay, thank you. Next one I have here is State Emergency Operations Center. Is that right? Okay. And is there someone here from Homeland Security to help us on this one? Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Senator, Mr. Chair, and members. My name is Chris Eide. I am the Director of Homeland Security and Emergency Management. And with me today is our project manager for the State Emergency Operations Center, Joe Kelly. If you have questions that I cannot answer, but what this section of the bill is doing is allowing the Department of Administration to work with us and to work with the federal government to transfer the title of 16 and a half or so acres of land on the Arden Hills Army training site to make that state property so that we can construct the State Emergency Operations Center on that plot of land. It also gives them the ability to work with to make sure that we have the utility easements and the land easements for that plot of land also.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Eide. Are there questions of the witness on this one? If not, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Members, I think that's the bill. Unless Ms. Detman says otherwise. That is the bill? Okay. Okay, that is the bill. Are there any questions, further questions, comments? If not...
Mr. Chairman?
Yes, Senator Pappas.
Not a lot here to vote for.
It's a... Senator Pappas, it's a... It's, no, there's no big money. There's no money in this. It's a technical bill. And what we wanted to try to do, Senator Pappas, is to... allow some projects to continue to move forward if they simply needed a language change. Senator Lanxit.
Mr. Chair, what are your plans?
Well, to Senator Lanxit, to refer this to the floor if...
No, I'm not talking about this. I'm talking about...
Well, the longer
bonding
global...
Bonding in general.
Okay. Senator Lanxit, the global plans, frankly, are unknown at this time. We don't have a budget target relative to bonding yet that I'm aware of, and so it's a matter of waiting for that. And some speculate bonding will be part of the end game. Your guess is as good as mine on that. But the reason I brought this forward, but in the event it may not be, at least some projects would be allowed to continue. So it's an unknown. It's an unknown landscape at this point. But
I thought maybe you would be an arbitrary chair and just do it.
Do it, okay. Well,
Lakes.
We are prepared, Center Lakes, but you know, we got to. Somebody's got to pull the trigger. Senator Pappas.
It's, Mr. Chairman, it's really kind of a shame. It's a lost opportunity. You know, it's we're seeing projects coming in under budget. It's a good chance to put people to work. There are a lot of projects out there that can be shovel ready. You know how we always need HEPRA at the University in Minsky. There's always plenty of needs there. We've got little things, important things like ballparks and other projects around the state. I'm sure everyone has important projects in their district. And it'd be pretty unusual. I mean, even you know, under previous administrations and previous leadership, we'd have at least a small bonding bill of, you know, $300, $400 million, $200 million, something.
Senator Pappas, it's really all about it's all about available debt service money and what's out there to use, and there isn't much. The budgets are tight. We all know that. I mean, we're talking, you know, in bonding terms, not much money at all, you know, in terms of, who knows, 30, 40, 50 million perhaps. It's just difficult, very difficult. So, but things can change, and that's why we do the last 10 days.
Well, Mr. Chairman, there are some of us who are very willing to support you in pursuing, you know, at least a small bonding bill for the sake of the workers in Minnesota and the people of Minnesota.
Thank you for that, Senator Pappas. Senator Langsett, you look like you want to say something.
Well, I just kind of follow up on it about, you know, as far as the timing of it is concerned. Talk about doing things in a business-like way when we – interest rates are low, the bids coming in really, really low, there's a lot of people out of work, that it just is a good time to bond and build. It, you know, some people say, well, how can you spend money when you don't have it? These are 20-year projects, and I think we'll find that anything done 3, 4, 5 years from now is going to cost considerably more than it does now. Is that you're going to get, eventually, I would guess, this if economy is going to get moving along, and then you'll have the private sector doing far more building. And so it's, I think bonding at the state level should be kind of counter to the regular cycle, is that really should do more of the bonding when it's down and not as much when it's up. And that's just how you get your best value out of every dollar spent.
Turn like, there's no question, and I'm just being knowledgeable about some projects back in our area, local, you know, projects. I mean, the bids are coming in very, very good, and I'm not sure we'll ever build anything cheaper than we can do it right now. So you make a good point.
Mr. Chair, you know, I've talked to contractors, and they've said that during downtimes, in many cases, they don't plan on making a profit. They want to keep their crews together. And I talked to one guy that did bidding for a company, and he said, in downtimes, there's usually a lot of bids, and there's almost always somebody that makes a mistake on the low side, and they actually come in below cost. And some of the contractors say they don't even figure depreciation costs on their equipment when they're in the downtimes. They're just trying to hold things together, keep their crews together, because obviously, if they lose their crews and then things get good again, they got to start all over. So it is very much counter to what the normal perception is.
Well, I would say to the committee, you know, be available if and when leadership and the governor decides bonding is part of the path home. Why, we'll be on call and be available, and certainly have a bill ready. No question about that. Members, I'd simply like to move that Senate File 187 as amended be recommended to pass, referred to the floor, and all in favor of that motion say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, nay. And anything else, members? If not, we're adjourned. Thank you.